Thompson. Kia ora and welcome to Property Matters. Tonight we chat with Andrew Eagles, Chief Executive of the New Zealand Green Building Council, and Louise Benson from Barfoot and Thompson Milford. Now remember, you can download our podcast from barfoot.co.nz/property matters or listen anytime at planetaudio.org.nz. Welcome to Property Matters. Welcome along to another Monday as this year is ticking on by very quickly. I'm Stephen Dello and I'm delighted to have you tuned into the show. Now, I'm sure you know by now, but each week we have a mix of guests from across the rental and investment landscape to give you tips and tricks on how to maximise your investment and provide practical advice for tenants and landlords who just need that tricky question answered. Now, this is very much your show, so we encourage you to email us at any point at propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz or send us a message on our Facebook page, Property Matters Radio, and we will get the experts to answer your questions in upcoming episodes. You don't need to be a Barfoot and Thompson customer to get in touch. We are keen to help everyone out there, so fire us your messages. Now, I'm very lucky today to have the wonderful Andrew Eagles and Louise Benson in the studio. Good afternoon, team.
Hi.
Kia ora.
Great to have you both here. And I'm going to kick the show off with you, Andrew. You're from the New Zealand Green Building Council. For those listening that haven't heard about this before, who are you? What's your organisation and what's your primary role?
Oh, kia ora, Stephen. Great to be here. I really look forward to the discussion. So we were set up in 2006 by the property and construction sector. And they really wanted to drive change to get healthier, lower carbon buildings and homes. So what we did is set up an entity to drive that. And the key thing they asked for was a check on the health and sustainability of buildings and also homes. So our vision is all homes and buildings in Aotearoa green and sustainable, delivering healthier, happier Kiwis. And we're a not-for-profit.
Not-for-profit, that's important to note. Now, what's been your personal journey that's led up to you being chief executive?
Oh, well, I grew up in Taranaki and I worked as an official in Wellington with the Ministry of Health. And then, like all Kiwis, or lots of them, you know, you go overseas. I had some time, 14 years in London, and I worked in a variety of roles, similar to Kāinga Ora there in central London. But I really wanted to come back and contribute to New Zealand and deliver something, and I was asked to come back and head up the New Zealand Green Building Council. And now there's this amazing opportunity to deliver lower carbon, healthier places, and I work with this tremendous team throughout New Zealand delivering that.
That's really cool. Reading one of your reports from 2019, it said that 20% of the country's carbon emissions come from the building and construction sector. So what steps can people take to reduce this if we're playing a part in such high numbers, I thought?
Yes. Yeah, it's not often very well known. The key thing that most people can do is they can reduce the energy use in their home. And the really simple steps are to look at improving insulation in our homes, so the roof and the floors primarily. Sometimes if you're putting in new walls, you can improve the walls as well. Better windows, and then other things like getting the ventilation right, really good for the health of the home to get fresh air in, and better and more efficient heating systems. And all of that will reduce energy use in the home, but also deliver better health outcomes. So Brands Research from the Building Research Association of New Zealand found that 40% of New Zealand homes are damp or mouldy, and that leads to some serious issues for us in Aotearoa with asthma and rheumatic fever and those sorts of things. So if we can insulate better and get that damp out of our homes, we can really improve the health and the running costs of those homes.
So is it your organisation that's played a part in the healthy homes legislation that's come out?
Well, we were asked to have input on some elements of those. Prior to the standard coming out, we did create something for free that people can use called HomeFit. And that's a free tool online that anyone, whether they're an investor or whether they're a homeowner or whether they're a tenant, can use and go on and check these things. So you can say, this is how much insulation I have, and you can see whether you need to top it up.
Right.
And so some of that fed into the Healthy Home Standard. We weren't involved in the heating calculator, just to clarify.
Just to get that out there, right?
Get that out there.
Louise will keep talking to you then.
Yeah. That's right, she's still smiling. But we did want to facilitate people having a sense of what they could do to improve, so there's that tool. And then some people go on to get a formal check, so you can confirm independently that you do meet the Healthy Home Standard.
Right. Now, you mentioned you're a not-for-profit, so what role do you want both central and local governments to play to ensure that these carbon emission numbers are reduced?
Oh, that's a really great question to mention both those institutions. So what central government need to do is they need to make it clear and simple for others, but they also need to deliver themselves.
Right.
So they're building to a higher standard than the building code, which is very good when they build homes. But what they're not doing is building to low carbon, healthy standards when they build buildings. So we're saying, well, when you build schools or defence buildings or stadiums, please build it in a low carbon, healthy way.
Right.
That's the first thing. And then our sense is that local government could help by making it easier for people to identify which homes are healthier and warmer. So some councils around New Zealand are indicating on LIM statements which homes meet these healthy, warm standards.
Okay.
So that's a really good connection up, so that if you go around to buy a property, you could see this home has been independently checked and is healthier and warmer.
For those listening that perhaps don't understand all this talk we're saying about zero emissions, what impact does carbon emissions have on our environment? Or perhaps the other way, what impact would zero carbon emissions have on our environment, in the world that we're living in?
Yeah, that's really good. So as we know, buildings make up 20% of our carbon emissions, and globally we all need to reduce that. The wonderful thing about property and the sector we work in is that we've all got the potential to make places healthier and warmer for people in their daily lives. I think that's the most special thing about our jobs. And we know in Aotearoa that 30,000 kids every year are ending up needing some health interventions. And so, and other people, everybody else, are going to be more productive when they have a healthier place, better air quality, when they're warmer. And so the really special thing about a low-carbon future is that we'll get better returns, we'll be more productive. Philippa Howden-Chapman, the professor of Otago University, found 30 to 40% drop-off in people being sick and unwell when their homes were properly insulated. And that means kids missing school less. It means parents having to take less time off school because they're looking after those jolly kids at home eating baked beans in front of the TV, those sorts of things. And we're one of the highest rates of respiratory disease in the Western world. So we can jointly, of course it's about carbon, but it's also about a healthier outcome for our future.
Which, you know, segue beautifully into my next question, because I was going to comment that on your website you talk about better buildings providing happier and healthier people. You've just summed up what that can achieve. What are some of the best examples you've seen where improvements to buildings have had a direct improvement to people's life? Obviously, insulation's been one of them. And is it very much needing the collective response in order to reduce the emissions for this to work? This is something we all need to be playing a part in.
Well, exactly. As a collective, we can all drive down those emissions. And certainly, we are seeing the impacts in Aotearoa of the climate changing. You know, Auckland's been a significant drought for some time. And as a result, we've had to go and steal water from the Waikato and, you know, spend all this taxpayers' money to make this work. when, as a collective, if we can reduce our impacts, we'll have a better future. But we've got some great examples, both in housing and buildings. So a housing example, we had a gentleman whose children were unwell. He revamped the home, better windows, better insulation, better heating and ventilation system. And he said that the change for his girls was just really tangible. It's the most powerful thing you can have. All the professors in the world spout things, but when a dad stands up and says, my kids aren't sick as much, that's really powerful. And the other example was at a building down in Wynyard Quarter. This is an office building, and they had the building performing better. They invested in better systems, and they saw a 15% improvement in productivity of their staff. So they were off sick less, more productive, more energetic, better with clients, sales, these sorts of things. And they saw that is, they got 15% greater firepower and they didn't have to invest in hiring more people.
It's a no-brainer, really. Well, look, New Zealand's often prided itself on being clean and green. Do you think as a country we're doing enough to meet that marketing slogan that's out there worldwide?
I think you know the answer to that. If you look at a lot of what's happening internationally, the EU has had energy performance certificates on their homes since 2006. And that's the thing I was talking about before. When you go to buy a home, you can see how healthy and warm it is and what could be undertaken to improve. And clearly, our building code is decades behind most of the EU. So I'll give you some real examples. If you take the same climate in the EU, or England more simply, with New Zealand, we have 2 to 3 times less insulation standards than what they will have. So we've got a bit of catching up to do in our new buildings and a lot of catching up to do in our existing buildings. And so it's great to see lots of property managers out there helping their clients improve their homes, because I think that that's going to really help improve New Zealand, reduce energy use. And because the government want us all to be driving EVs, we actually need the energy for other things, cars and those other things as well. So it's really key that we crack on.
Absolutely. Our key audience in this show very much are investors for the rental market. So what do you want them to be thinking about, either when purchasing their next investment property or completing renovations on their current one? Obviously, insulation's a biggie. You mentioned windows before. Tell us more.
Yeah, sure. Well, a really simple step they can take is they can look at the free tool and check off those things against what it will show whether you meet the Healthy Home Standard primarily. And I think that what we're seeing increasingly is people are thinking about the future and they want to be sure that their properties and investments meet and already can achieve that future regulatory risk. Now, there's no question that more stringent requirements are going to be coming. So one thing you can be doing is you can be thinking, is the home I'm investing in healthy and warm, and is it going to be lower running costs? Really good research showing that when you get people in those homes, they're less likely to default and have issues.
Right.
You've got less maintenance in the home because there's less mould. You'll have tenants staying longer. Those are all really good things financially, and it makes it for a robust investment. It also means you've got a great marketing tool because you can say, come and look at this property. It's been independently confirmed as healthier and warmer than others.
And I think that's what struck me so much today is your talk about health. You know, if I'm a parent in there with kids and my kids are getting sick in my rental property, you're right, I'm not going to be sticking around. So that turnover is going to be huge. So to have a healthy home is definitely going to keep me longer and more, I guess, respectful as a tenant in that space as well. Your organisation also provides training. Tell us a little bit about that side of what you're up to.
Yeah, certainly. So we've seen a lot of property managers and those also building homes saying they want to gain knowledge on this so that they can be on top of it as an agenda. So then they come and get some training so they can deliver some of this in-house. So that might mean, a property management firm can train up their staff and then certify and confirm which homes already meet the Home Fit standard, therefore confirming Healthy Home Standard compliance. And similarly, we've got people building homes wanting to confirm that as well, so they get training in-house so that then they can tick off and confirm that.
Right.
Yeah, we have that, and then we have webinars and events and that type of thing.
And you've got a property summit coming up in May. So
yes.
Who's that aimed at?
Sure. So this is actually, this one we're doing with the Property Council of New Zealand, and that's focused on commercial properties, so more office buildings, retail, that sort of thing. And we're talking about getting to carbon zero and the benefits of healthier buildings. But we have a number of webinars and events focused on housing. This might be of interest to your investors. We now have over 4,000 homes a year registering for a healthy lower carbon standard for new build homes. And we have a number of events and webinars planned for them. And the really interesting thing, I think, is we're seeing the financial sector come to play. So
right.
ANZ, they provide a lower interest mortgage rate for homes that meet this standard. It's called Home Star.
Fantastic.
So it's 1% off your mortgage if you do that. So some of your investors may be building new. There's a great opportunity to deliver less waste to landfill, healthier, lower carbon homes, and also give your tenants or mortgagees a lower cost mortgage.
Very cool. Now, final question before we go to a music break, and this one's a bit more personal. What are your personal goals as chief executive for your organisation for the future? What do you hope to achieve? Because you've just said amazing stuff that you're trying to drive, so where does the goal line sit?
Yeah, thanks.
No pressure.
That's a big question. I hope you get this too, Louise. So I hope that this mainstreams. I just fundamentally believe that in Aotearoa, we deserve healthier, warmer homes and buildings, and that can deliver a better Aotearoa generally. So we want this mainstreamed so that Tamariki and our kids and our parents, when they go into home, they know it's healthy and warm and they can have a better future. And I want a lower carbon Aotearoa as well.
Mm.
And I believe we can deliver that and leave a better country behind.
Mm. I'll probably answer my own question there. I was going to say, apart from councils and government, who do you need walking that walk with you? And I mean, it's easy to say everybody, but are there other organisations out there that need to be walking that journey with you to hit those sorts of targets?
Yeah, there are. So, in the building space, it's the builders like Hawkins and others who are stepping up and committing to this. And in the housing space, it's those building new homes. It's the large volume home builders, GJs, Mike Greer, Classic, who were asking to step forward.
Yep.
Government are building to the standards, so we know they can do it. And in the property management space, it's large property managers who could step up and say, we're going to check off our homes to the standard and we believe in this.
Mm.
It's not difficult, and it's a real opportunity given the 70 to 80% of New Zealanders want action on climate change.
Mm.
And we know there's a healthy housing crisis, and this is a really big opportunity for companies and others to step forward and distinguish themselves for what I think is only going to grow as a market.
Brilliant. All right, we're going to take a short music break now, and then we'll bring Louise into the conversation after the break. Here's a little bit of Take Back to the Years Ago with a little bit of Grease.
Had me a blast.
Summer loving happened so fast.
I met a girl crazy for me.
Met a boy cute as can be.
Summer days drifting away to other summer nights.
Splashing around.
we'll be friends.
Then we made our true love vow.
Wonder why she's doing that.
Fabulous. John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John with Summer Nights. Louise and Andrew, are you Grease fans?
I was.
You were? Come on.
Many years ago.
I still am. Absolutely.
Still am? Good. It's just one of those ones you've just got to play every now and then. Now, welcome back, everyone. If you've got something or something you'd like to promote or something you'd like to ask about or perhaps something you'd like to share with investors, landlords or tenants, make sure you get in touch with us. We're always looking forward to new guests on our show. Email us at propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz. And now I'm going to chat to our very own Olivia Newton-John, Louise Benson from Barfoot & Thompson Milford. How long have you been involved in property management, Louise?
Well, only 2 years, so I'm a relatively new starter. Prior to that, I was doing a variety of roles and was in the UK for 11 years doing health and safety products. But yes, only 2 years.
Only 2 years?
Yep.
What is the market like on the North Shore at the moment? Is it a good place for an investor to buy? And we've had a lot of guests on lately from West Auckland. What's North Shore looking like?
It's always a good place to invest. It's quite buoyant at the moment. We do find it's a seasonal, particularly because of the high quality of schools that we have. So sort of end of the year, beginning of the year, we will get a lot of movement, and then it tends to settle down. But because of the beauty of the place, I suppose, we are able to command higher rents. And, of course, the America's Cup, we've had quite a few coastal properties that were in high demand at the start
prime
of the
location,
year.
Prime location, yeah.
Yep. But, of course, it's tapering off a bit now. But, like I said, the rents, we can demand higher rents because of the Milford and its surrounds are a great place to live.
So tell us about Milford. What is it that makes Milford so special?
Milford town itself has become quite cosmopolitan. It's got some really cool little bars and restaurants of every type of food. Really cool shops. Of course, you've got the beach, you've got the marina. Great access to transport links, schools, as I've mentioned. You know, really, West Lakes and the Takapuna Normals, people move from all over the country to come to those schools. So, yeah, I just love it. It's full of character. It's a community feel. Everybody knows each other. Yeah, it's really nice.
That's cool. Mm. The schools are interesting, actually. We haven't picked that up on the show for a while about what a part that plays for a tenant looking to rent, because to get into a good school is important, and these days all that sort of stuff is checked to make sure you do live there, please provide a tenancy agreement, etc.
Yes.
So I guess as an investor coming into a space on the shore, being in zone for those schools is guaranteed for a good rent return.
Absolutely, especially the family homes.
Mm.
You know, we do have a lot of two-bedroom properties, a lot of brick and tiles, which are always popular, but the bigger properties as well will always appeal to families, and predominantly it's due to the schools.
Mm. Now, when you listen to Andrew talk about the importance of green buildings, do you think our tenants in Auckland are also now more aware of this importance, and that landlords should market perhaps the greenness of their property when advertising, that this could in fact be a huge plus for a tenant?
Oh, definitely. I think with the Healthy Homes legislation, it's now compulsory to have your ceiling and underfloor, if appropriate, to be insulated, which immediately adds to the warmth and dryness and healthiness of the home. Tenants are aware of that. We can't put any tenants in now without that being done. And obviously later on in the year, there's going to be further requirements. But the tenants are very savvy now, and they know. They ask for heat pumps. They ask for extraction fans. You know, there can't be any drafts. They're very up to play with it. But I think it would help, you know, if this was mentioned in the marketing material, it would certainly help. Because, you know, I think we are lucky because we have a high standard of home, and we don't have a lot of mould and issues like that. So we're quite lucky.
Yeah. If an owner, private landlord, is listening to Andrew's discussion earlier and thought, oh, it's just too hard, it's another thing I've got to do to organise, is this something that you as a property manager can do? You can get the home fit done, get the assessments done, get the property up to standard?
Absolutely.
Like right from day one, I could come to you and say, this is my investment, I've got no one in there now, but get it up to standard and make it fantastic.
Absolutely. We've become specialists at that. You know, we have a really well-vetted raft of contractors, and they've, you know, we'll offer us two or three quotes for heat pumps, so the bigger ticket items. That's exactly what we do. And it takes a lot of stress off the owners knowing that it's going to be done properly and it's going to be certified. Definitely.
Excellent. These days, from the moment a property is listed to then rented on the North Shore, sort of how long are we talking? What's the turnaround?
It depends on the property, of course, and depends on the school zones. It can be a week to 10 days, that quick. But again, usually around the 2 weeks, but it depends on how the property is presented. We encourage the owners to make improvements between tenancies, refresh, you know, outdoor wash, paint, obviously get it up to speed with the healthy homes, and because tenants are always looking for modern properties, and, you know, particularly in our area, that, you know, we can ask for more in the way of rent, and if we've got something to deliver, then it's generally well received. Yeah.
Now you've covered a few things there. I was going to say, what things can landlords do to make their home ready to be rented and ready to maximise the investment? You just said spruce it up. What sort of things can they do in between a tenancy?
Just paint windowsills, change curtains, you know, not massive expense, but it does just help lift it, have a commercial carpet clean if the tenants haven't already done it. Gardens, tidy the gardens, make sure the lawns are tidy, and externally washing the house makes it, you know, impresses straight away. But of course you can go into further expense if, you know, like a bathroom or kitchen refurb, that type of thing. Install a heat pump, that always helps.
Andrew, Louise mentions there the gardens. From a Green Building Council point of view, you know, we're moving more and more into these apartments and units and townhouses connected. Does your organisation have any recommendations about that outdoor space in order to be helping to reduce carbon emissions?
Yes, this is a really good point. I mean, you get this trade-off a bit, don't you? For many people, they want to get on the property ladder, and so apartments are a really good first step, you know, and for other people, they can't manage, you know, a garden, so an apartment's a really good fit, or you're busy, you want that apartment. There's very clear links to having outdoor space to improve your health and well-being. So that might even be, you know, a balcony with some plants on it, or going through a park on the way to work, because not everyone can maintain a garden.
Mm.
What we do say is, if you've got a garden, clearly plant native species.
Right.
And it's also useful that when we are increasing density and we're increasingly concreting over much of our city, that the green space is really important for letting the water soak into the ground, and it reduces localised flooding events, which is actually quite a big issue in Auckland. We have an issue where our water, we can't manage all the storm water, and that's why we can't swim at some of those beautiful beaches in the North Shore sometimes. So it's really key that we continue to enable our green spaces and surface water to run off.
A few weeks ago, or a couple of months ago now, we actually interviewed two young teachers who were talking about their journey of, one was buying through KiwiBuild, one was buying their own, but in a housing development, their journey, and I had the pleasure of going and seeing the final product a weekend ago. And it was so cool to see that while it was a whole row of townhouses built together, they each had a small green space at the back off a deck. There was grass, there was some, I think, as you say, native trees that were there, and then a on the wall was all these cleverly designed planter boxes with a veggie garden and then a water tank collecting the water to be used for outside.
Great.
And that was, you know, I think it was a GJ Gardener, as you mentioned earlier. It was well designed, definitely. But it was so cool to see that because, you know, I was more concerned we were going to be just heading down that apartment way. And this was a way of having both. It felt like an apartment inside, but just had a small enough green space, which is also good if you've got a pet as well.
Yes.
You know, that's the added bonus. Louise, once the property is ready to rent, we know it's important to find the right tenant, but some landlords just want to rent it at speed to cover the mortgage. So how do we get this balance right? And why is it so important to get the tenant selection right? I guess now more than ever with the changes to the RTA recently.
That's right. I think it's, like you say, it's managing expectations. You know, right from the get-go, we want to market the property as well as we can. And if they've recently bought the property, we encourage them to use the marketing photos. I think the better a property is initially presented, the better the calibre of tenant, the better the rent return that we'll get on it. That's all I, you know, I mean.
And if I came to you as an investor and got you to manage my property, what sort of things are you doing to check that that tenant is the right tenant?
At the initial stages?
Yeah, we
do a massive vetting process, you know, right from the... We have to work with the owner's expectations and they will tell us. They can't discriminate, obviously, but they'll tell us what they're looking for. So right from the viewing process, we can eyeball the people that we like. And then they will apply and we will then do the reference checking, and that's landlords, employers, friends. And then we'll do some background checks, which include social media, tenancy, police, and then if they become a preferred applicant, then we can check their income. We can then do a credit check on them. So that you know, that goes without saying that that's we know exactly what we're dealing with by that stage. And if there's any, I mean, the application process that we use will always flag up any concerns anyway if their income isn't high enough. So, you know, that's how we do it. And we're confident. And then we go back to the owner and we'll say, this is what we've got. Do you like the idea of this? And whether they've got a pet or, you know.
So you have that discussion. Because, I mean, if you're going to spend money getting it up to standard, doing the healthy homes, sprucing it up between tenancies, you then want a good tenant who's going to look after it.
That's
and
right.
make it their own.
Yeah, and we have very exacting standards, you know.
All right, as we come to the final part of the show now, I'm going to ask you both the same question. What do you love about your job, Louise? What do you love about your job? You've only been in there 2 years.
It's a challenge, and I like a challenge. It's the variety, I think, and it's very high energy. And because of the high energy side of it, we get constant dramas or issues or... you know, problematic tenants, problematic owners that we have to manage. And that brings the team together. So we pull together to work with them. And it's, you get a sense of achievement at the end of it when, you know, a win-win situation is brilliant and you really do think, gosh, that was difficult, but we did it. So that's it, really. And I think it's a great company to work for. It's very supportive. And I think we always feel that we've got someone watching our back if things get tricky, you know. We've got a legal representative who'll come to tribunal with us and hold our hand.
Nice.
But the more you do, the better you get. So, unfortunately, in this day and age, it's becoming more frequent.
Andrew, what do you love about your job?
Well, I'm really grateful for the great team and working with you know, great people who are passionate. I think there's two things in particular. One is we're increasingly working with people who want to leave a legacy. So they are saying we want to leave a better place behind. And so we're seeing people who say we don't just want to do what's legally required, we want to go further because we see the future. So that's the first thing, I think. That's really exciting. So people building to better standards or getting homes up to a higher standard for Aotearoa. And then the second thing is changing systems. So not just a few houses here or there, but, you know, once we start to get thousands of people through this system, we've had 50,000 people use the free online home fit check. And once you start to get them that momentum, tenants start asking, we're getting landlords saying, we're going to develop to that standard or improve our homes to that standard, then you start seeing system change. And that's what we've seen in Europe and other countries. And I'm really excited by shifting the whole system to a healthier, lower carbon future. And I think really grateful to be working in that space.
What changes have you seen in the industry over the past decade? What's been the most significant shift?
So, well, I think the Healthy Home Standard is a step forward.
Yeah,
I know
definitely.
I know that there's that calculator issue, but that will fundamentally improve the lives of tens of thousands of New Zealanders, which is very positive. The other step we've seen is that government is moving to require higher energy efficiency standards on the buildings they lease. That's really great. And I talked about the issue of insulation previously, and now homes and buildings were a couple of decades behind most of the OECD. Now, just last year, government committed to fundamentally improving that over the next 10 years. So every 3 years or so, insulation, ventilation, water efficiency, those sorts of things will be improved in our building code. So right now in our building code, there's nothing on lighting efficiency. There's nothing. There's nothing on water efficiency. There's nothing on the sustainability of materials or materials going in the dump when you're building something. And we have a commitment now to do far better on that. And that's a result of lots of people advocating for change. And I think those are really positive first steps.
Absolutely. If people want to join or support the Green Building Council, how can they get in touch?
So they can contact me or go on the Green Building Council website and look at the membership page. We very much welcome members. And, you know, if you're interested, there's webinars and other things online. And just first steps, there's training, that type of thing. We'd love to have you along. It's really exciting. We started with 30 members. We now have 550 members involved in all championing change, everything from local government, central government, banks, insurers, property agents, real estate agents, and architects, engineers, and others, all pushing for a better, healthier future.
That's fantastic. That is awesome growth. And we can track Louise down at Barfoot & Thompson Milford at barfoot.co.nz/Milford. Our time has escaped us today. I feel like we could talk for ages on this really interesting discussion.
Can I just say we are having an investors' evening on the 4th of May on Tuesday at the Milford Cruising Club. So any potential investors want to pop in, please contact us on that email address that Stephen's just given you.
Brilliant.
And we can send you out an invite.
Great. Great way to find out all about investing. Get in touch with them at barfoot.co.nz/Milford. Louise and Andrew, thanks so much for spending your Monday afternoon with us.
Thank you.
Really pleasure to have you, and we look forward to seeing if you achieve that goal. No pressure.
Kia ora, ka kite.
Thanks for listening, guys. Have a fabulous week. Remember, you can email us anytime at propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz. Have a fabulous week.